desirous that Cecilia should be executed without publicity or tumult, Almachius commanded that she should be taken home and confined in the bathroom of her palace. This was to be kept intensely heated, until the suffocating atmosphere had deprived her of life. This cowardly expedient, however, failed. Cecilia joyfully entered the place of her martyrdom, and remained there the rest of the day and the ensuing night, without the fiery atmosphere she breathed producing even the slightest moisture upon her skin. A celestial dew, like that which refreshed the three children in the Babylonian furnace, delightfully tempered the air of the heated apartment, so that the remark made in later years of the intrepid Archdeacon Lawrence could well have been applied to the Virgin, that the fire of divine love which consumed him interiorly destroyed the strength of the material fire which surrounded him exteriorly. Vainly did the ministers of Almachius increase the fire by heaping wood upon the furnace. Vainly did the heated apertures send forth volumes of boiling vapor into the apartment. The power of God protected his servant, who calmly waited until it should please her divine spouse to admit her, by some other kind of death, into his eternal kingdom. Almachius, on hearing of this prodigy, was much disconcerted. He had hoped to avoid shedding the blood of a Roman lady, but he had gone too far to recede, and there was no alternative but to send a lictor to behead the saintly virgin. The officer presented himself before her, armed with a sword. Cecilia hailed him with joy as the bearer of her nuptial crown. She offered her neck to the executioner with an eagerness that might be expected from one who had already triumphed over all that could terrify or seduce human nature. The lictor vigorously brandished his sword, but his arm was so unsteady that although he struck her three times, he could not succeed in severing the head from the body. Terrified, he withdrew from the room, leaving the virgin stretched upon the ground, bathed in her blood. The law forbade the executioner, who after three attempts had not dispatched his victim, to venture upon a fourth trial. The doors of the bathroom had remained open after the lictor's departure, and the crowd of Christians who were waiting the consummation of the sacrifice respectfully entered the room. Cecilia, in the agonies of death, still smiled upon the poor whom she loved, and the neophytes who had been converted by her. With eagerness they gathered up with linen cloths the blood which was flowing from her virginal wounds. All endeavored by every means to testify their veneration and love. The faithful were ignorant of the delay which she had asked and obtained from heaven. During three entire days they surrounded her bloody couch, wavering between hope and fear, and filled with respect for the will of God so mysteriously manifested in his servant. Cecilia unceasingly exhorted them to remain firm in the faith. From time to time she made the poor approach her. She lavished upon them the most touching marks of her affection, and desired that the remainder of her fortune should be divided among them. For one moment the crowd subsided. The dying virgin, who was about to receive the visit of Saint Urban, who, as we have said, had been concealed in the palace for several days. Until the present moment, prudence had prevented the venerable old man from approaching the martyr, who was waiting his visit before taking her flight to heaven. She wished to receive the blessing of the Father of the Faithful, and to consign to his hands the only inheritance which she had left. The pontiff entered the bathroom, and was deeply moved at beholding his beloved daughter, extended like a lamb offering in sacrifice upon the altar, inundated with her blood. Cecilia gazed at him with ineffable sweetness and joy. "Father," she said, "I ask this delay of 3 days from our Lord, that I might place in the hands of your beatitude my last treasure, the poor whom I feed and who will miss me. I also bequeath to you this house in which I have lived, that you may consecrate it as a church, and that it may become the temple of the Lord for ever." After these words, the virgin thought only of preparing her soul to meet its spouse. She thanked Christ that he had deigned to associate her to the glory of the athletes, and had crowned her with a wreath composed of roses of martyrdom twined with the lilies of virginity. The heavens were already open to her eyes, and a moment of faintness announced that her last hour was approaching. She was lying upon her right side in an attitude of virginal modesty. At the last moment her arms fell by her side, and turning her face against the ground so that none could witness the last secret communings of her departing soul with divine object of all her love, she tranquilly expired. So great a martyr could be buried by none but the most august hands. Saint Urban, assisted by the deacons, presided at her funeral ceremonies. They laid her in a cypress coffin, in the same attitude in which she had expired, clothed in the rich robe of silk and gold, which she had worn at the time of her martyrdom. To honor the apostolate which Cecilia had exercised, Saint Urban desired that she should be buried in the enclosure prepared by Saint Callistus for the pontiffs. This well-merited but unusual distinction, joined to the desire of burying the Virgin at the spot where the cemetery of Saint Callistus turns towards that of Praetextatus, in order to place her near her husband, accounts for the fact of all traces of her sepulchre having been lost until it was discovered by means of a revelation. Saint Cecilia, pray for us. This has been a production of Alleluia Audiobooks. For more Catholic audiobooks, please visit us at AlleluiaAudiobooks.com. If you'd like to make copies of this CD to evangelize or give to your friends, please feel free to do so, but we do ask that you do not alter the original audio. Thank you, and God bless.